one of the exciting things about Ardipithecus is that because it's so old, it may give researchers some ideas about the last common ancestor shared by humans and chimpanzees. I wonder if you could explain a bit more about the connection between Ardipithecus and this last common ancestor.
Well, ever since the days of Darwin and Huxley, it's been appreciated, first based on anatomy and later, of course, on genetics, independently on genetics, that our closest living relatives are chimpanzees, African apes that live today in West Africa. And the issue for Darwin was the lack of a fossil record. In fact, he devoted an entire chapter in his book on the Origin of Species to imperfections in the geological record in general. And the human fossil record in those days was extremely imperfect. There were a few Neanderthals known. Well, over the 100-and-some years since the Origin of Species was published, people have been collecting human fossils from all over the world, Europe and Asia and Africa, and we had a fairly good fossil record that went back to the time of Lucy and beyond, to between 3 and 4 million years ago. Now, that doesn't get us far enough back to reach that last common ancestor that we shared with chimpanzees. So it's been a kind of an elusive organism, as it was for Darwin. We just have lacked the fossils. What we found in Ethiopia at 4.4 million years ago is the closest we've ever come to that ancestor along our own line. Unfortunately, the lines leading to modern chimps and gorillas are not even represented in the fossil record. These animals live in places that don't produce a good fossil record. And so we have virtually no fossil record for these modern apes, but we have a really good one for fossil humans. Well, really good, except it doesn't get us back far enough. And that's really one of the things that led us in the Middle Awash to want to explore these older deposits, to see what we'd find. Because ever since Darwin, people have sort of assumed that modern chimpanzees haven't evolved very much, that the last common ancestor was more or less like a chimpanzee, and it's been the hominid branch of the family tree, the human lineage, if you want, that's done all the evolving. But without a fossil record, it's very hard to test that. So this new evidence coming as close as we've ever come to that last common ancestor really allows us to infer what that creature was like. And a lot of people predicted that when you found something as old as 4.4, it would look like a chimp. And in fact, this creature is a very interesting mosaic. It is not chimpanzee-like in its hand, for example. It's even more primitive than a chimpanzee. What this indicates is the chimpanzee hand has evolved radically from the last common ancestor. We can't assume that it was the primitive condition. In fact, it's the highly evolved. Our hand was more human-like from almost the beginning in terms of the length of the palm or the length of the digits, for example. When we look to the foot of Ardipithecus at 4.4, we see that it maintains the ability to grasp, as does the foot of a chimpanzee. But the chimpanzee, again, has specialized its foot to be compliant to substrate because it's a climber, a suspender, and it walks on its knuckles. So we see in modern living apes, a lot of evolution has happened since the last common ancestor. By approaching it in Ardipithecus, we now know, for example, in the teeth, that chimpanzees are highly specialized. They're frugivores. They have very broad front teeth. These are the incisors. Ardipithecus doesn't. It's much more of an omnivorous creature. It turns out that frugivory evolved along chimpanzee lineages. But that's not the only thing. The fascinating thing that we see in Ardipithecus is that it had a chimp-sized brain, and yet its front face is very much smaller than a chimpanzee's. Its incisors were not only smaller, its canines were really small, especially the male individuals. Now, the fossil we found, the skeleton, is a female, but we have lots of other individuals from the same horizon of Ardipithecus, and we have not a single large chimpanzee-like canine. So even the males, by that time, in hominid evolution, had feminized the canine tooth. And this tells us about the social behavior that would have been practiced. And again, this very aggressive model of social behavior you see in chimpanzees, where males fight with one another all the time over estrus females, this wasn't happening early in our lineage. because that canine tooth is very much reduced. So you could never predict what the last common ancestor looked like from just looking at humans and chimps. That was all that Darwin had. Darwin was very wise on this matter, though. Darwin said, we have to be really careful. The only way we're really going to know what this last common ancestor looked like is to go and find it. Well, we haven't found it, but we've come a lot closer than we've ever come at 4.4 million years ago. And just like Darwin appreciated, the evolution of the ape lineages and the human lineage has been ongoing since the time that these lineages split, since that last common ancestor.
You've talked a little bit about some of the traits that that distinguish the apes from Ardipithecus. I wonder if you could talk a little bit more, give me some other traits that researchers found compelling in this analysis.
Well, the most important thing about the discovery of the Ardipithecus skeleton is that in one individual, all the parts are sort of put together for you. We have from head to toe, as it were. So we can start with the head. What does the head show us? Well, the head shows the brain is very small, like a chimpanzee. The head shows the canine tooth is very small, but it's a female individual. Fortunately, we have many other canine teeth from the same layer of the males. And so that allows us to say this is a female individual. One of the important things about this compared to, say, a gorilla or even an early Australopithecus is that it doesn't have very much body size difference between male and female. That tells us a dimension of the species that we didn't have prior to the time we got the skeleton and could figure that out and got all the other pieces. So you start to unravel the biology in the head. You take a look at the isotopes of the teeth. These isotopes are telling us that the diet didn't include grassland, open savanna plants. We're finding now moving down to the arm and the hand. We find an organism that was not adapted to walking on its knuckles like living chimpanzees. It was in fact very capable as a climber. Its hand was not a human hand, but it lacked the specializations that we see in great apes today in Africa for knuckle walking. So it could climb. What else? Well, we go down to its pelvis. Here we have the key part of the skeleton that allows us to walk on two legs. We see substantial evolution in Ardipithecus compared to any other quadruped. We have a pelvic shape that indicates some early form of walking on two legs. Very important. Then we go down and we look at the leg bones and compare them to the length of the arm bones. And we go down to the foot. We find a foot that, unlike a human foot, it lacks an arch. The large toe in this foot diverges from the rest of the foot. So it's a grasping foot, much more like the foot of a chimpanzee. It's not a chimpanzee foot, but it can grasp. What does this tell us about the capabilities of this organism? It can climb in that woodland environment. It has not abandoned the ability to climb, even though it's an early biped. It hasn't forsaken a lot of the ape characteristics that we see both in the earlier apes and in living apes, which is pretty much common to all primates. They're subsisting on an arboreal sort of a substrate. Their diet is fruits and leaves and things like that. Here we have in Ardipithecus an unspecialized form that hasn't evolved very far in the direction of Australopithecus. It's not expanded its molar teeth, for example. Its canines are still big, although not as big as the thing that came before it, and certainly not as big as chimpanzee canines. So when you go from head to toe, you're seeing a mosaic creature that is neither chimpanzee nor is it human. It is Ardipithecus. That's why we give it this different name. And the only way that we could have figured it out, it ever lived here, not by triangulating from living humans and living chimps and figuring on some halfway house. This is actually hard data from the skeletal biology and from the context that allows you to look back in time and see something that was and is very unique. You can't, therefore, straitjacket the world of the past just by looking at the modern world. You've got to go and seek the evidence from the deep past to find out what the deep past was really like.